This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Rick Swanson. He is a principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead for Deloitte Consulting. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, here we are in January of 2013, and you pick up Forbes magazine, you figure that 2013 is going to be the year of digital health. So, Rick, we have to have you come on in and talk about digital health initiatives of the federal government. Before we dive into this big, heavy topic, tell us a little about your background and some of your connections with our audience, maybe that might help us trying to get more credibility with you here.
Sure. Yeah, I've been working in and around mostly with the Department of Health and Human Services for the last dozen years or so. On a whole variety of different areas. And then over, 6-7 years ago, I guess, we made a big investment in moving into HIT. And from HIT, obviously, mHealth. So the change has just been absolutely, absolutely dramatic that we've seen going forward.
It's interesting that right before the interview started here, I talked about one-third of Americans now own tablets or e-readers. I mean, you could have predicted that 5 years ago, could you? It's just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the iPad first came out, that was sort of one of these, I don't know how in the world anybody lived without one. And it's something that I've been waiting for good grief, graduating from college, that was just the promise. It never happened.
Yeah, last night I looked at my wife and she had two notebook computers, a Nook and an iPad, all arrayed like she was like on Star Trek or something. Like she had the control panel for the house all there. And every device looked slightly different, but that had the right, you know, the subtle thing. This is what you use a Nook for. This is what you use the iPad. All kinds of different things. So what's your education background? So you have a degree in IT?
That's right. Yeah, I have a degree in computer science from Virginia Tech. Always got to throw in my Go Hokies plug. And came out, actually went into the defense world straight out of college. And then, as I said, moved over into a variety of different kinds of things and into healthcare a dozen years ago or so.
Great. And there is an event coming up on January 17th, and it's HIMSS-NCA. You can find more information at HIMSS-NCA. Tell us about HIMSS and tell us about this event coming up, please, Rick.
Well, HIMSS, of course, been around for, 50 years, I guess, and always a big event for the main conference. But the HIMSS-NCA event, that's here in the National Capital Area. And what we're putting together is really something around innovations in mHealth. As you said, it's something that's just growing and expanding pretty wildly. And so we put together a panel session, and we've got some great speakers that are going to be a part of that panel. So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting thing. We'll get a lot of perspectives from the civilian side, from the military side, VA, whole bunch of different things.
It'll take place on January 17th. I think that's a Tuesday or Thursday. That's a Thursday, I think, huh? At 5:30 in the evening, right in Roslyn, so you can shoot over in the metro and sit down. What's really nice about these events is there's maybe 100, 150 people there, but it seems kind of close and intimate. You can almost reach out and grab someone and ask someone a specific question. It really has a good ability to interact with the audience there, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, these are really good sessions, and it is a lot smaller. When you go to the HIMSS event itself, of course, it's absolutely huge. And in fact, I think it gets limited by the number of places they can even hold it because it is so huge. But these smaller events are pretty nice.
Yeah, the big event attracts like 40,000 people. And in fact, there was an event just focusing in on mobile health just last month in Maryland. Were you at that event? Was that mHealth or something?
Yeah, unfortunately, I could not make that one. I had a couple client meetings that that day. But yeah, it was. It was focused around the same sort of area.
And just the topic with M Health, that must have attracted 5,000-6,000 people. I mean, it was just that little category. You would think it's a little category. It's not at all. And so you're going to be moderating the panel for this discussion in January. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Great. Yeah. So I just want the listeners to know that they can go to hems.nca.org, get more information on the event, register, come on down, get a chance to discuss these topics with some people who are living and breathing and eating M Health every single day, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when it comes to healthcare technology, do you work with the military side of the house or HHS, or what kind of accounts you normally handle?
Well, I actually cover the whole spectrum from an HIT and M Health sort of view. So across both all the work that we're doing at TMA and into the military services and the VA, although my primary client, my sort of day-to-day, is with Department of Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the whole broad range of that, CDC, FDA, NIH, CMS, et cetera.
So from the top of the pyramid, from the big dogs at HHS up there looking down on healthcare, I mean, so give us three or four reasons why mobile health will have any impact at all on the healthcare that I receive or you receive or one of our listeners receives. I mean, what's the big value to it?
Yeah, well, it really comes in a variety of different kinds of points of view. You can take a look at mHealth and see it from a data collection sort of a perspective, and that's everything from people entering their own data, taking readings, like they go out for a run and they keep track of their heart rate and those sorts of things, to implantable devices and the sorts of measurements and activities that can happen there, through the analytics that can be performed sort of right there in front of you with the just massive data that's available, and actually move into the whole care delivery setting. So you've really got a broad range of things that are really going to move the industry and move everything in a very positive direction.
When I think mobile health, I think of tablets and smartphones and nurses mostly. Now, I haven't been in the hospital for a long time. But I guess when I was at this conference, they're talking about mobile devices that can assist physicians and nurses in helping patients. I mean, there's wearable devices now that I never dreamed of before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just take a look, like, Dick Cheney has his implantable defibrillator there, and it's taking readings and it knows what's going on with him and can do things in an emergency. I've got a cousin of mine has an implantable insulin pump, and same sort of a thing. Remotely, you can hold it up to your abdomen, and you can take readings, understand what's going on with it, and understand a whole lot of different things. Yeah, it's something that's just moving. And quite honestly, if you look at this and think about where it's going and how far it's going, we are just at the beginning. I mean, we're sitting pretty much in the knee of what is an exponential curve of growth, and it's challenging to even look a year in the future.
Well, everyone who is listening knows about the battles on Capitol Hill about funding and money this and money that. So I got to ask you the money question. Can mobile innovations help reduce costs for our listeners, for Joe Sixpack out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you look at what's going on with the Affordable Care Act and you think through it, saying the real move is taking this from a system that's very transaction-based and moving it towards something that's quality-based. And you think about the way that mobile health is going to be able to put tools both in the hands of the patient and then also those sorts of analytic tools we spoke about in the hands of the physician. You're going to reduce the number of visits. You're going to have much better data and much better analysis of what is going on with an individual patient, and thereby really move them towards a kind of a quality outcome, a health perspective instead of a solving a problem kind of a perspective.
Over the holidays, I connected up with a friend of mine who's been involved in healthcare IT for 3 decades. He has a degree from Georgia Tech and a master's degree in engineering and health systems. And he tells me that, boy, if you want to get the most resistance to change people on the planet, just walk into any hospital. You want to get someone that may be ready with quill pens, just walk into a hospital. His perspective is that they don't change anything there ever. I mean, they're stuck in their ways. Has that been the case? Your impression with the federal government?
It's more about how quickly things are occurring and how quickly technology changes, I think, versus that sort of a resistance. Now, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember probably 10, 15 years ago, was part of a large health system, and went in, and they had just implemented one of the large CPOE systems. And I was asking him, I said, so what do you think? This is pretty good, huh? He said, well, honestly, I can't see as many patients because I got to do this, I got to do that, and just a whole bunch of extra work. So it's sort of one of those on the front end, there was a lot more work. But later on, like 2-3 years later, I asked him the same kind of a question. He says, well, it's growing on me. So I think that it is a matter of time and familiarity and those sorts of things. No doubt it's something that's evolving.
Yeah. There's, of course, risks and challenges involved with mobile devices from a security perspective. But there also seems to be a division, I see, between smartphones and between tablets. Do you see this division pretty apparent? You kind of all, do you mix them all together?
Tend to kind of mix them together. Really what it ends up being is sort of a view, a portal, a way of getting into the information that you want. Not necessarily wildly different functions for the different devices, but just different ways of looking at it and perhaps a little bit more flexibility with some versus others.
Well, Rick, let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about mobile health and the HIMSS event coming up here in just a couple weeks. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Rick Swanson, Principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead, Deloitte Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Rick Swanson, Principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead, Deloitte Consulting, talking about an event coming up where Rick is going to be a moderator of a panel, a bunch of smart folks over at HIMSS NCA. Is that right, Rick?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got quite a crew. We've got Eric Augustin from the NIH, David Collins from MHIMSS itself, Mike Cowan, who is now the executive director over at AMSIS, Neil Evans from the VA, Mark Googe from
MHS.
That's
a star-studded panel. Yeah,
that's really
a great panel. And we talked about in the first break, what's real nice is HIMSS has these pretty personal events, 100, 150 people. You can sit there, you can ask questions, you can grab someone afterwards and say, hey, Neil, how is this going to apply to my agency? Or how do you take, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Maybe I'll grab Neil at this event and ask him this question too. How can you? How can an agency move a project from pilot to full-scale deployment? We know how we do it with regular computer stuff, and that's been done for many decades. But how do you take an app or some kind of a mobile application and move it from the baby stages to fully grown?
Yeah, it really is. It's an interesting trend that's happened in development when you look at things like agile methodologies and certain sorts of things like that. You can take and build a pilot. You can pilot it with a set of users, whether that's patients or physicians or whatever, and take and look at it and see what's working, what isn't working. Do another cycle of it, put it out, and eventually move that thing towards a full deployment where you see the most benefit. So it's almost like a laboratory that you have with a population, and you can even take and run parallel ones and do subpopulations and a whole range of things to come to the right answer.
So how long would something this normally take, moving something from just incipient stage to full-scale deployment?
Well, that's the great part, because you can literally in a matter of weeks have your first sort of pilot out there. And depending on how complex you want to get and the sorts of things that you want in there, in a relatively short time frame, you can have capability right there in the hands of users.
You mentioned this phrase, MHIMSS, lowercase m, capital HIMSS. What is this MHIMSS roadmap? What's that all about?
That's right. Yeah, the mobile HIMSS. It's really taking in for the kinds of things that we're discussing here with mobile devices and whatnot, and putting that out for the various HIMSS community to be a part of, because it is very, very quick moving.
I work with software developers, and on Monday morning, I was kicked out of a room because they wanted to go in there and have a scrum. They said, get out of here. This little girl, she weighed 112 pounds. She kicked me out because they wanted to go in there and argue for 15 minutes. So we know what scrums are. We know what agile software development. That means four or five people get in the room, and they fight for about 20 minutes, and they go work all the rest of the day. And so that's when I think about software development. But you can be applied directly to mobile health applications, can it? Just dawned on me that they wouldn't be storing stuff in their test environment on a server somewhere. It's going to be storing stuff locally, isn't it? It's the same church, different pew for software development, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, quite honestly, the where starts to not matter quite as much as you're doing a lot of these sorts of things. But yeah, what the real key is that you get the whole range of people involved in it, so that you have your developers and you have your people that understand the business side of things, and you have your users, potential users, and they, as you said, they argue it out. You come up with some ideas, you prototype them, you put it out in the field, see how it works.
And my experience with healthcare professionals is they are very, very opinionated about that tie, about that product, about that piece of paper, about especially about their patients, because that's why they got in the world of healthcare, is to help patients. And they put that first, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you can absolutely practice healthcare on paper. Many still do, even today. That patient care and what they do, that is absolutely the most important thing. And that's what a physician's all about. So having them involved in the process and be a part of building these sorts of, these mobile apps and data collection and analysis is, that's part of it.
So Rick, from your perspective, what are some of the challenges here and risks for mHealth, and how do they vary from standard software development?
Well, clearly the single biggest one, and it's been with HIT forever, is the sort of privacy and security piece of it. I had one of the former HHS CTOs, who was a CIOs rather, was a good friend of mine, said, "I'm only one stolen laptop away from losing my job," and that was, what, 10 years ago or so. You look at it today, and it's absolutely something that's just critically important. You think people don't want to get a hold of your banking information? You think about it with your health information. You know, nobody wants that out there. So that's probably the single biggest challenge, and it is an area that's, that receives a whole lot of focus, is making sure that the information is secure and that that doesn't end up in the wrong hands.
I have to put your world baseball cap on here and look at all the countries in the world. Are just Americans just freaked out about this? I mean, do people in Europe not worry about these privacy concerns, or other parts of the world that say, look, we're trying to get someone healthy, we're trying to fix their spleen, we're not going to be as concerned about healthcare privacy? And maybe this is the you're in a race and you're dragging this log behind you and preventing people from getting healthy. Is that the case outside the United States? How do we compare?
Well, privacy is something that is important around the world. Obviously, different cultures have different sorts of views on it, and ultimately, hey, we live here, and this is the marketplace that we're all serving, and these are the people that we've got to do that. This is the electorate that our politicians are serving as well.
And I think this is a question that's going to come up at the HIMSS meeting coming up. And the question is, you know, hey, can privacy rules impact mHealth and mHealth development? I mean, they have a great impact. How much of an impact in delays in providing services, expense, all of the above?
Yeah, I would say time is probably the biggest thing. As you see with any piece of software, when it gets fielded, you have it on your, if you've got an iPad or an iPhone or a Windows device, whatever, you see that there are updates and they're always happening. And you turn it on and you look and you go, wow, I just did this 2 or 3 days ago and I got 20 apps that need to be updated. And that's all part of both improvements, but then also finding little breaches and niches and things like that are out there. And those vulnerabilities will exist. As things mature, as they move forward, they tend to be reduced, and the likelihood of something tends to go down. But unfortunately, it's sort of like you push a lot of the responsibility for making sure that things are secure out on to the user. It's not something that ends up being wholly under the control of the developer anymore. Yeah, they can fix it, but if nobody implements the fix, then you're kind of
right.
Stuck.
15 years ago, I would never dream of buying a desktop computer, bringing it to the office and maintaining it myself and patching it. Now, this is done by the IT person. Mm-hmm. Right now, this BYOD is switching things around. It's almost putting the burden on the individuals in healthcare or in typical agency for making sure it's secure. It's trading places here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, one of the philosophies that you end up taking, this is one that that Deloitte actually does, is that you put out a footprint and there's a set of security protocols that you have to follow along with, and that has an expiration date. So when you hit a certain date, and I know this because mine just came over the holidays, you've got to do a refresh and you've got to redo all of that security stuff so that you end up with a point in time where you take a number of snapshots and you say, okay, well, as of this date, you're good. And so there are a variety of approaches and philosophies for doing those kinds of things.
Everyone knows the statistics here and the numbers. 300,000 mobile apps have been developed in the last 3 years, 10.9 billion downloads, and you just referenced it. No, by the way, just because you happen the phone, you don't put it in your shelf and walk away. It's a living, it's almost like a puppy.
it's
living,
there.
Breathing. You got to maintain it and take care of it. And the more apps you add, I mean, and the apps have to respond to new technology as well. I mean, give me the good old days. It's a lot easier back then when I had someone worry about Windows NT and the technician down the hall will patch it for me, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it almost feels like a pendulum with things, right? So you went to the side of having mainframes and those sorts of
guy
things.
Guy down
and,
the hall, doing all, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And you went over to the personal computer, and now everybody's sort of doing their own. And then you move more towards the internet, where you've got a web browser, and that browser gave you visibility into everything that was going on. But now with apps, you're kind of making a swing back in the other direction. I mean, I don't know about you, but I must have half a dozen or 10 apps for banking, because every single one of my banks that I deal with has a separate app. So ultimately, there will be another swing, and we'll move back in another direction. But I don't know quite what that is. A post-app world?
There used to be 30 or 40 different programs for word processing, and now there boils down to two or three.
Yep.
When we get back, we'll talk more about smartphones and apps and applications and updating mHealth. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Rick Swanson, principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead, Deloitte Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Rick Swanson, principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead, Deloitte Consulting. You know, I write a weekly blog, and I'll be blogging about this interview. And if people want to find my blog, they can go to Google and type in John Gilroy bad joke or John Gilroy bad blog and get me. Are there blogs that you read? Is there maybe a paper or a blog you recommend for my listeners to read to keep up with mHealth?
Yeah, not so much a blog per se, but one of my colleagues, Harry Greenspun, wrote an article recently. And if you go and you Google mHealth and mWorld, you'll end up finding it. But really, it's an article about how mobile technology is transforming healthcare. And it's a good article.
And this is a medical doctor, right? That's the key.
Absolutely, that, yes.
Show, he's a medical. He's not
a
like a PhD.
Musician.
He's not a dentist.
Right.
He's not a podiatrist like in Seinfeld. He's an actual medical doctor.
Real
doctor who he knows what a stethoscope is. I mean, and he knows what high blood pressure is. And that's why it gives it real efficacy, because, oh, yeah, this guy knows. I mean, he knows what he's writing about. He knows from both sides. And,
yep.
And he speaks at events. He's a good person to follow on the Twitter world as well. You know, I think medicine comes down to face-to-face and asking a doctor about when can I go back in the football field, and I got a playoff game coming up, and face-to-face and personalizing. And that's what I think of handheld devices. They're personal devices. People put their own special little backgrounds on them. And personalized medicine kind of brings both together, don't they? So what mHealth can do is it can provide even more personalized medicine than we have now, can't it?
Yeah, it really can. You know, I talked earlier about the perspective on data collection and the sorts of things that mHealth provides there. But you take that from the other side and you think about it from a care delivery kind of a platform as well. And you think of this huge, huge sums of data that are out there. I mean, we're just being overwhelmed with just an absolute tsunami of data. And you think about genomics and having sequenced genomics data associated with clinical care type records and the types of things that can be done. And you start sort of segmenting the population. You know, already today, we know that there are a whole variety of different drugs that are much more effective if your genomic sequence looks like this versus like this, because certain things are expressed or not expressed and whatnot. And you start taking that into the future, and you start saying, well, you know, 1, 3, 5 years out there, you're moving to smaller and smaller and smaller populations, to the point where you literally walk into a doctor's office, prick your finger, have a chip, look at your DNA, or look at the particular thing that's affecting you, a virus or a bacteria. And right there on your little mobile device, the doctor's going to be able to have all of that. They're going to be able to take a look at all these different pieces of evidence-based medicine and say, okay, well, this is the piece that you're going to go with. This is the right treatment regimen for you. So, yeah, it has huge potential for just driving costs way, way, way down, because you're really looking at a health outcome as opposed to a transaction.
I think most of my listeners who are federal IT professionals know that in 2013, they've got to do more with less. But I think anyone who just reads the newspaper, reads blogs, reads anything that's going on with healthcare, costs have to be reduced. And I think mHealth could be a tool that can actually be used very carefully to reduce costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all part of it. And as I said, it's whether it's that analysis piece, the collection piece, the care delivery piece, just the whole spectrum of what's going to happen, what is happening. It's pretty tremendous.
If I walk down the street, go to Starbucks, I'll probably find three or four people in there with three or four different devices completely. And next week, there may be three or four different devices completely again over the next Starbucks or whatever. And so that brings up the question of interoperability in healthcare. And so if I waltz into a doctor's office with an iPad, or the doctor has an iPad, and all of a sudden they change, I mean, it seems like this is the focus should be on interoperability of all these devices, because, I mean, death taxes and technology changing seem to be the three guarantees, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, interoperability has been sort of the key for HIT for quite a long time. Was part of the promise, and you know, if you look at the notion of complete semantic interoperability, that's a really tough one. That's hard to get to, because it requires a lot of different pieces changing throughout. When you start moving that more towards the different devices and think of it in terms of a cloud sort of an environment, that the different devices, whatever they happen to be, start drawing from, it gets at least a little bit easier. But it's a long road. That's a lot of stuff that's gonna have to change there.
And when you moderate this panel discussion on January 17th, you're going to have people like Neil Evans there, and you could ask him that question about interoperability and have there been strides made, and what's success, not success, and interoperability. And I don't know how, if there's going to be new devices here in 2013, 2014, it's almost like the standards have to be designed with blank pages. This page left intentionally blank because something new is going to come up in the next 6 months for sure. It's a funny way to set a standard, but it has to be done that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been going on. There's there have been big efforts at Office of National Coordinator, ONC, around standards harmonization and putting things together. HL7, of course, is a big player in the whole mix, and ourselves and the rest of the community sort of play there too. But yeah, you can ask those questions of whether it's Neil and find out what's going on with VA or what's happening at NIH with these sorts of things. Got a good set of panelists that can give you a lot of different perspectives.
And more information at himss-nca.org. Find out about this event on the 17th. Rick will be moderating a panel, bunch of smart folks, but different types of smart folks, NIH, military background, HIMSS people. I mean, this is they may not agree with everything. In fact, that might be the best benefit of the panel, is that, oh, I don't agree with Neil about that, or this is because they got to be looking at it from different perspectives. ONC's got to have a completely different perspective from the HIMSS folks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, you're going to have all kinds of interesting things. And yeah, that's part of the being at this stage of a market, as it is as it's coming forward, is you're getting those ideas, and they are bouncing around and percolating and coming out with new approaches and new techniques.
So new approaches, new techniques, new devices, mobile devices, sensors, all kinds of information, building and building more and more data, all kinds of data. All of a sudden, you get to use a fancy phrase of big data and petabytes. Think of that, petabytes of information. And talk about genomes. I mean, that's a place where there's all kinds of information, petabytes of information. So does this all feed into big data? Is this part and parcel of designing an mHealth system? Is considering big data at the end of all this data collection? Or is it just something someone else should worry about?
Well, no, it's fundamental to it all. You've got, as I said before, all of the genomics data. You have data that's coming in from a whole variety of different sources that could be public health data, what's going on, it looks like there's a flu outbreak, whatever. You see adverse events in a variety of different kinds of products, and FDA, of course, cares deeply about those sorts of things. You've got research that's progressing, and all of this stuff sort of tying together. Now, you're not going to be doing that hardcore analysis on your mobile device per se. I mean, that this it's more of a portal into it and a collection of data about things that sort of feeds into that environment. But yeah, the ultimate, you know, sort of that dream goal is that all of this data comes together and you've got a really powerful clinical decision support sort of a tool, so that a physician has all this information available to them, of course, far more than anybody could really digest, because this truly is an exponential sort of a curve in knowledge that we've got, presents ideas, and then of course a physician using their background experience and all that, coupled with that, providing you with better care.
I'm involved in the commercial medical community in town here as well, and I got my finger on the pulse of these folks. And my intuition tells me that older physicians are looking at this, shrugging their shoulders, and going, "Eh, I'm going to retire in 5 years. I'm not going to do any of this." And they're literally walking away from it and keeping with their pen and paper. And the younger physicians seem to be embracing it. Do you see this reflected in the federal community too, or is it just my little distorted image of what's going on in the commercial world?
No, it is sort of a thing. I mean, I don't consider myself all that old, but I look at where things were when I was going to school and how things were going versus what my kids, who are in college now, go through, and the types of things that they can do and that they just do naturally right out of the box.
Assume, and it's different.
Yeah. It's an assumed set of knowledge.
We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give Rick the famous nerdometer test and see if he's a card-carrying nerd or not. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Rick Swanson, principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead, Deloitte Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Rick Swanson, principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead at Deloitte Consulting. Rick will be moderating a panel here on January 17th. For a group called HIMSS, Healthcare Informatics. Pretty impressive sounding title, isn't it, huh? What does the whole HIMSS stand for? Healthcare Informatics Management or something?
Health Information Management Systems Society, I think that's right.
Wow, yeah. So HIMSS-NCA.org. Get more information on the event. He's going to have four or five luminaries in the area on mobile health. Sit in a room, you get up there, talk, ask questions, take notes, and hopefully maybe solve some of your problems. If you'd like to follow my Twitter feed is at Ray Gilray, because John Gilray was taken. And do you have a Twitter feed? You can recommend someone for us to follow here?
I actually do not myself have a Twitter feed, but colleague I mentioned earlier, Harry Greenspun, does have one that's pretty interesting. It's at Harry Greenspun.
Just like it sounds, awful
Harry,
simple, yeah.
As it sounds, and Greenspun is a green and then S-P-U-N.
Yeah. Yeah. And at Deloitte Health, IT?
Yes, another one.
Yeah, it's another one to follow. That's good. I've been following more and more folks on Twitter. Seems to focus my attention to certain specific areas and doesn't get me too wrapped up in sports. I get back to my business world and I have to worry about who's going to win the Super Bowl. A lot of people using Twitter to tell people about their Fitbit. They're saying, hey, I walked 3,000 steps today, and they tweet about it and they brag. And I guess this is one way to change behavior. And I guess the idea with our culture is to change behavior as far as calorie consumption and change behavior as far as activity goes. And I guess mHealth can impact both of those, can't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think ultimately the goal is that people live a healthier lifestyle, that medicine becomes more preventative than after the problem's already occurred. And, you know, you mentioned the sort of health conscious market there. And that is one group that has very quickly adopted a lot of the mHealth technologies. You know, there are geeks like myself that will strap on a heart rate monitor and keep track of it and look at it and see where things were going and when they felt bad or when they felt good and those sorts of things. And then sort of another end of that that's adopting quite well are some of the specific communities around particular diseases, you know, particular types of cancer, things like that. And those are some pretty active groups that that are finding a lot of the technology pretty useful. It's the it's kind of that chunk in the middle that, that is a little bit of a challenge still.
And I read about an app over the weekend where someone could take a take a picture of some food they're going to eat and find out if it's organic or not. I mean, I guess there's so many silly apps out there, and I can be 50 pounds overweight but have 100 apps on my smartphone. So an app doesn't mean much, does it?
No, just having the app, I'm afraid, doesn't do it. Yeah, it's actually motivating the behavior.
Well, let's find out about your behavior. We'll find out if you're, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. I give each one of my guests a 10-question test, Rick. You're going to have to take it. The first question is, when was the year you bought your first computer?
It was somewhere in the late 70s. And
get some points there, buddy. You get some points there. Sounds like a TRS-80,
a
trash 80.
TRS-80.
A trash 80. You are a geezer. Wow, TRS-80. Wow,
the first real one was the original IBM PC, though, and that was about, 1980.
Yeah, right around there, 81. Your first cell phone?
Oh, wow. It's a pretty long time ago, too.
Mid-90s?
No, you're probably late 80s.
Late 80s, okay. The big ones, the bricks.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty big, yeah.
So we know you don't have a Twitter feed, so that's a black mark against your soul. And we know you don't have a blog, that's two black marks against you. No promotion for you this year, buddy. What kind of personal online backup do you use?
Well, I do use iCloud to back up most of my things.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. Number of apps on that bad boy, Fit apps and everything, what kind of apps you have?
Well, let's see. To get to some of them, I got to scroll through about 5-6 pages.
We'll put it down for 5
plus.
Pages.
Yeah, okay. A lot.
And what kind of tabletoys do you have?
An iPad.
Got a theme here.
Yep.
What kind of social networking sites you participate in?
I do have both Facebook and LinkedIn.
Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Do they still print paper?
He's trying to be 1970s for the first computer and doesn't even know what paper is.
Yeah, there you go. Good. No, I literally, I have probably, 50 or more books that are resident on my iPad and use that. I use a Kindle app on the iPad. Works well.
Yeah, everyone tells me that's great for traveling because if you're stuck in an airport somewhere, all of a sudden you don't have to buy some silly romance novel at the bookstore in the airport. You can get some serious stuff.
And magazines and everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but I probably read a dozen magazines and you just get stacks of the things and having them on here is a whole lot easier.
Well, let's get out the crystal ball here. They do sports in this studio, and I have a crystal ball here. I'm going to hand it to you, and I want you to give an accurate prediction for exactly what's going to... No, take a look at the next 4 or 5 years of them health. What kind of trends you see happening? We know mobile is going to be a big trend. What are the trends going to be out there? Is cloud just going to be something in the rearview mirror, or are people just going to assume everything's in the cloud, or what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years, Rick?
Well, I think cloud will continue to sort of pervade the space. I mean, it will be the center of where all of the data ends up residing and those sorts of things. I think there are a lot of things to work out with the access to it, the security of the information and whatnot. But I think that'll continue. I think literally the single biggest trend is going to be that we move from an environment that is transaction-based to an environment that is outcome-based, and that we see medicine moving towards a just radical personalization that that the market for everything just moves to one ultimately, whether that's a drug or nutraceuticals or whatever it happens to be. I think we're going to move very quickly in that direction. I think that devices are going to continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And we are actually, and I mean, it sounds like wild science fiction, but I don't think it's really all that far away, maybe 10 years, where we're going to see things that literally can float around in the bloodstream and repair different parts of the body. Gene therapy, stem cells, all of those kinds of good things. It is really an exponential curve. I did a briefing a few years back, and I put up a single slide. It just said y equals x squared, and I'm trying to prove my geek quotient since I missed a few of those questions earlier. And that literally was it. That was the whole conversation was the exponential curve, and that we are at the start of it, and it is just absolutely exploding.
I work for a little company, and we're dealing with a large helicopter manufacturer. And boy, they're very involved in quality assurance. Believe me, they're involved in quality assurance. They have engineers, and they think about it. They must think about it all through the Christmas holiday and Thanksgiving holiday. And I think this idea of quality is being applied to healthcare IT and healthcare application as well. And there's some resistance, I think, because how do you make a qualitative opinion on a physician? I mean, there's a lot of ego there. It's easy to talk about moving to more quality-based medicine, but boy, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, advice and recommendations and working with patients, that's a very subtle skill set.
It is. And it is very much art. And as with all of those things, you're trying to move it towards having enough science. You need the art, you need the intuition, you need the ability of a physician to do the things they do. But you gotta get that science piece of it in there as well. And do it. I mean, already with the Affordable Care Act, there's a whole slew of the quality measures and those sorts of things. CMS certainly applies those to reimbursements, and that will get more and more intense over time. So there is a move in that direction, and that is the way it's going to go.
Electronic health records, are you optimistic? Are you sanguine on their adoption, or you think there's not going to be any choice? You're going to have to go that way.
Well, I think ultimately everybody has to go that way. You know, probably 2-3 years ago, I used to joke that the great thing about an electronic health record is that it's got all your information in it, and so it's there. And so each of my doctors that I was seeing had me put together an electronic health record. And as best I could count, I had around about a dozen electronic health records, all with different information.
Wow.
You know, and nowadays, of course, that's collapsed down quite a bit. For me personally, it comes through my insurance provider, and they keep track of most everything that's there. But yeah, it's a critical piece of it, and having that information and you know, the meaningful use of the information in it is absolutely.
My son has friends who are in the Navy and Air Force and Army, and I don't say how they are. I say, where is Grace and where is Lance? And because you never know, and they have to carry their health records with them. And I think the VA has got to be a proponent in this because, I mean, this Ranger friend he has no idea where he's going to be in 6 months. He could name the country. I mean, it's just incredible, and you better have that information with you as far as health care.
No, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, as you're probably well aware, the VA and military health systems are embarking on this big IEHR, the next generation of what electronic health records are going to look like, and having that sort of joint thing, a big longitudinal record that you can look across your entire service.
Longitudinal records, boy, big words here today.
Did I win the geek?
Pretty good. Actually, one with semantic, that was a pretty good one. That's usually a linguist uses that word, but hey, when a geek uses it, you get extra points. We have to end the interview here with fancy words. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Rick Swanson, Principal and mHealth Federal Health Lead at Deloitte Consulting. Thanks, Rick.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.